Hello. Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for November 13th, 2006, not 7, 2006. And hope you like our new intro.
I thought you were going to try to rhyme with that one.
Oh, should I have rhymed along with that? Yeah. I'm too white.
Or you could have just been like, GFW Podcast, keep our names out your mouth, son.
All right, next time I'll try to do some kind of rap over it. The kind of rap a 45-year-old Jewish guy should be doing. Yeah. Hi, we're here, and we're podcasting. That whole intro threw me off there. We're so much more soulful now
that we're
Microsoft branded.
For the podcast, the 1113 podcast.
Yo. I'm here with the whole gang of the GFW editorial staff, which includes the following.
Ryan Scott. Hi-ho. This is Darren.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Malloy.
Okay. And Darren as Kermit the Frog.
I'll be talking like that through the whole episode.
Yeah. Well, so here we are. We just gorged on Chinese food on this rainy day in San Francisco. And so we're going to have to see how that affects the conversation today.
Ching Tao all the way.
I know that one issue we're having as we sit here ready to talk to y'all is that, let's be honest here, most of us all weekend, we can say it. It doesn't have to be a dirty little secret. We played a lot of console games.
We did.
That's true.
Here, the GFW staff. I don't know what that says. Other than there's a whole bunch of great console games out right now. Not that there aren't good PC games, too. But, yeah, it's kind of the console's moment at the moment.
Yeah, everyone's going ape shit over the Wii and PS3 launch, and that's...
And
two pieces of hardware are coming out this week.
Right.
And in our land, they've already come out. And then
Gears of War.
360 is
the
big one.
Flavor of the moment,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just got a copy today, so I haven't played yet. But it's been really frustrating to go up on... Xbox Live and see all my friends playing Gears of War.
I'm
playing frickin' Luminesce
till 2 in the morning.
And Doom. I'm playing Doom. Like 12-year-old PC game on Xbox.
I was thinking of giving you like a message on that, just giving you crap. Like.
Doom's actually kind of fun after all this time, but you know.
It's Doom.
It's a little dated at this point. But maybe
it's actually a good time. It's actually good that you're playing that now, I think, right before you go into Gears of War.
Yeah.
Because one of my sort of pet notions is that Gears of War, in a way, is kind of like a second coming of Doom. And also it's going to sound weird, but Mortal Kombat. You're going to have to think about it. Or we can just go into now playing right now.
But when you get into
multiplayer, basically, at the time, both of those games I just mentioned were presented very well. I mean, the graphics were nice on both of those games. Mm-hmm. I mean, but... So much of the game is about just the raw factor of like, whoa, I just blew that dude's head off, or like that guy just got sawed in half, or there's just guts everywhere. And you'll see that when you're playing online with people, especially if you get into a game with people you don't know, little younger set, you know, like the Rolling Hard crowd and the G Thugs. But every time they get killed,
are you finding little kids playing this game?
No, I mean like, you know, 18-year-olds, 21-year-olds and stuff. But it's like, damn dog, I ripped you, son. I messed you up. I'm like, but it's like seriously every time.
And that's why I only play with friends.
Every time they get a kill, or it's like you kill them 6 games in a row, and then the next they get you, and it's like, bitch. Like they get that in real quick before the next round starts, you know. So, but I think what I'm getting at is like when you see that kind of reaction, or it's just like just yelling, and I mean, I imagine it's like the Uptown Comedy Club. Kids are doing cartwheels when they get like a chainsaw kill, you know, and they're just screaming and going off. But I think that in the same way, when Doom came out, it was like that, just that raw, like this is like taboo stuff, or this is just like completely.
So it's pretty, pretty violent, huh?
It's extraordinarily violent. I mean, I'm trying to imagine now what my parents would have done if they saw me playing that sort of game when I was still living in their house.
So I got to play this after my wife goes.
Oh no!
To sleep.
It totally like
otherwise
when you chainsaw anyone or anything, it cuts away to a third person kind of view for a second, like even further.
It's always third person,
a skewed angle, like one that you're not seeing when you're playing.
Right.
And then like it gets a close up, and then just blood splatters all over the screen. It's like
awesome.
The blood spray is on the screen. I mean, there's always been jibs in games, but the jibs are even more lifelike, so that like if someone gets bisected, it's basically like you got
100% more jibby.
Cross section.
Bullet point on the box.
So you've got anatomical cross section. You've got it's not like skull fragments come out, and you can clearly see what everything is. And it's the way it's presented. It's not only hear the chainsaw ripping, mm-hmm. but you hear the guy just screaming and crying. And
damn.
But you can't. Can you identify the guy's Isle of Langerhorn?
No.
Well, how does that seriously? How does that make you feel when you're playing it?
I don't know. This, like does I said, the way it did when I was in the arcade and some kid would bust out a new fatality in Mortal Kombat back uh-huh. before Mortal Kombat was a joke, you know?
Right.
And you'd be like, "Whoa, how'd you do that?"
That was some a kid, long time ago.
Check yeah. this out, and then he like turns into a polar bear and eats the guy's head, and you're like, "Anime."
Like, that's like man.
But those kids, a new generation of us, of like me in yeah. that stage, is like yeah. coming into, you know, into their own with
but
this
it,
game.
Does it personally. Bother you at all? Or is it, I mean,
it does when I hear it. Doesn't when I play because I'm like yeah. that's cool. But when I hear that, eventually, I just find that's why actually now I just play with people that are already on my friends list from our forums or from like our floor, you know, the game group.
Mm-hmm. Personally, like. I didn't even really notice how gory it was. Like, I think I'm just super desensitized, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, okay. like, every horror movie and all that.
Right. Crap, I'm a big right? horror buff, so, like.
Have you played multiplayer much?
No, I haven't.
It's a lot more obvious in that context because mm-hmm. it's happening to you.
Right.
It's when you get the close-up view of it. Like, with you.
Of what? You being chainsawed in
or
half?
Or blown up. Yeah,
right.
Like,
when
a shotgun
grubs or whatever,
will just completely,
then who cares?
Like, disintegrate you. And, like, a headshot is, like. I mean, you know, when you hear horror stories of real war, like, you know, mm-hmm. this and that, it's pretty much like along those lines. It's
and that was a little bit what they were trying to do, right? That's what I remember reading, that Cliffy B was, I mean, that was a little the point of the game. Was
I'd
to,
say it's pretty sensationalized, though, because they're yeah. feeding on that, like, suck it down history of that type of a game, you know,
yeah,
competitive game.
Well, yeah, if you play the single player one, it's really obvious they're going way over the top. It's yeah. not like trying to be... A realistic war message.
This isn't Saving
I mean, maybe,
Private
yeah,
Ryan
maybe in combat, like one in every like 10 kills is that nasty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in here, every single time,
every kill is about as nasty.
Every
as you
death,
be.
Every face of death is more gruesome than the last.
Well, okay, like, so to bring it into PC gaming related
crazy stuff, talk.
Well, just that this is Epic Games' first console specific game. Mm-hmm. So now that you've played it.
No, it's not really because
what?
They had Unreal Champions.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
And it's okay. It's kind of similar to that. I mean, I could okay. see like ways in which they learned certain things with Unreal Championship 2. Well, that was the one where they brought in all the melee fighting.
Yeah, I think part of that though is like a lot of all their games prior to this haven't really been about like, with the exception of Unreal 1. It wasn't really about story, it was
right.
more just about like, you know, set up a tournament kind of
right.
competition mm-hmm.
right.
thing.
So now that it's out, do you feel like this could have been on the PC?
Oh,
longer.
It totally could have been. Totally.
And you yeah. know what? I'm here's hoping it still will be in some way. I mean, I think there's a, you know, there's a good chance that theoretically it would be nice if they could do it.
Mm-hmm. If it was on the PC, I know that 1UP gave it a 10. We're not going to talk about review scores here now. But let's say it came out on the PC. Do you think it would have gotten the kind of reviews it's getting now?
It would have reviewed very well. I think probably...
A lot of people.
I mean,
just...
in the same way that it did on console. But I mean, I have issues with like the tens and stuff that I see for the game. Mm-hmm. I've only played half.
But we would have been comparing it to what? To Fear, Battlefield.
Well, I think a right. lot of people are getting hypnotized by the awesome graphics. I mean, this is the first game really showing off what the Unreal 3 engine can do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and like anybody who looks at it, even for a second, they're just like, "Wow, that looks pretty mm-hmm. damn sweet."
Yeah.
But the
this is actually the first game for like the 360 because that I've gotten that has made me go, "Whoa, that
really?
Looks nice."
Yeah,
wow.
Totally.
You really get a sense for that. That glow factor too, mm-hmm. which is just being that the graphics are sort of like, you know, creating an impression that overall is more favorable than maybe the game itself.
That's mm-hmm. what I'm
you know because a few examples I had from the campaign. Give you some spoilers out here, but they're not really spoilers because it's the most basic, you know, rudimentary stuff. But it's like, you know, turret use. I mean, that's been around mm-hmm. forever
yeah.
in these
mm-hmm.
types of shooters, but it's gotten to the point where everyone, you know, critics at least, like, just really. Rip on a game where they position a turret so that when you grab, well, as soon as you grab it, you activate, you know, an onrush of a bunch of enemies that blindly run right into it. So it's got that.
Well,
it's got
actually,
parts where like
I think I know the part you're talking about. It isn't so much triggered by you touching it. They're actually it's like a time trigger.
Right.
So it
but
says,
it's still
guys
set
are coming
up. So
now
there's
right?
a couple
when
parts
when you're at the turret. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to come.
Yeah.
At you.
Yeah. That happens repeatedly
and,
too.
And that happens repeatedly. And then there's the one overlooking the balcony. And then there's, you know, there's two of them down there and you shoot and you're supposed to clear the way for a landing zone, right? You're supposed to clear the street so that your dropships can land. But what happens mm-hmm. is you just sit on the turrets and shoot everyone. But what happens is like when I played, we got to a point where there's one guy left. And I knew this because I'm a gamer, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm such a hardcore gamer. But like, I was like, nothing's happening. I was like telling my person I was playing with, we're not waiting for a cutscene. It's like there's probably one of them still
left.
Hidden
yeah.
somewhere, and it's not going to load the cutscene until we find
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was the case, and we found him and got him. And so those are examples of just really, you know, unremarkable design choices. Mm-hmm. Another quick example would be that there's a section where, you know, if you go into the darkness, these locust type things fly around and strip the skin off your bones. Mm-hmm. So you need to stay in light.
It's like pitch black.
Mm-hmm. And the device that they have to keep you in the light is that they place these propane canisters along a path. But what happens is, for one, at face, it gets ridiculous that there just so happens to be a Pac-Man trail of propane tanks through the streets. And it's not explained by the story. It's like supposedly your guy has an aha moment and says, right. Hey. So what happens in game terms, it, you become so used to it after shooting the first one that it becomes merely a button by another name. And you're like basically hit. It's a light switch in the form of a propane tank.
Right.
You
just
gotta find it.
It would have been cooler if you could like you could find like oil drums or gas canisters or anything. You could like manipulate the environment a little
kind of
throw
like,
a Molotov cocktail
just,
or something.
Naturally flammable like rubbish in the street that's positioned in different ways. So you had choices like this. If you want to create a bonfire, light the whole works.
Right.
Or, you know, the Doom 3 co-op on Xbox had the flashlight system, and even that I think was a more organic and sensible thing, or flares or anything. As long as the point being is that they're those are all good solutions, but I think they're even stronger when they're mixed together.
Yeah.
Than as opposed to just this one, like it's like here's a gameplay element we came up with. And we're gonna just use this for half an hour, and then there's another one. So there's a lot of stuff like that about the game, in addition to just the retarded dialogue and everything that. It's like, how many times have you played a game that's basically Predator, where you're like, someone just watched Predator.
Yeah.
And so every guy has like arms that are like 60 inches in circumference, and his legs are like tree trunks.
Yeah.
And ugh, let's go get us something to kill. You know, it's like every...
The problem is, what else is the body of insurance in every freaking game?
Right.
I don't know, how many variations can you do on the...
Right. But it just is laughable. It's like, you could see when they're trying to, like, all of a sudden you're walking, you know that part when out of the blue your guy's like... No, I've got a 2-year-old kid. And you just like laugh. You're like, dude, someone in there was like, we need to try to develop these characters. So someone's like, give him a kid. And he just like randomly says it when you're blowing up some dude. It's like,
this reminds me of my kid. I have to get him a birthday present.
But to bring it full circle, the point I guess I'm making, and Darren is like agreeing with me, is just that the graphics are so impressive that it's easy to overlook that and come away with like that rah-rah that I was an awesome experience. Mm-hmm. But I totally stand by the multiplayer. I think it's fantastic, and I've been just fiending on that.
Well, that'll be great news to all the 360 listeners.
Yeah.
We're sorry we're going to do this. I'm going to have to keep apologizing this podcast. We will get to the PC stuff.
And actually, I can bring it full circle right now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, please.
So if you want to get a small taste of the Unreal 3 engine right now, you can play it on RoboBlitz on the PC. It's available on Steam for $15. I just finished reviewing it. I thought it was actually a fun little game.
So the 360 owners get Gears of War, and we
get RoboBlitz.
RoboBlitz.
Yes. Hang in there, kids. Johnny Five is alive.
RoboBlitz. How did the graphics compare to Gears of War?
Not quite.
Well, it's a platformer, right?
Exactly. It's a simple little platformer game. It's nothing like it's over. It's like over and done within an afternoon. You won't even like it. Just it's a really quick game.
I thought Gears of War was 2 afternoons for me.
See, there you go. No, but there's also a level editor too, so you can actually like. Mess around with the engine if you really are, you know, want to get into it. It's kind of cool in that respect. And I guess all we got to do now is just wait until sometime in Q1 for next year, so we can see Unreal Tournament 2007.
Right. Looking forward to that.
I really am.
Been a while since there's been an Unreal tournament.
Since 2004.
It's almost sad now that we've got, because there's only one first experience with the new engine, and it's, you know.
Yeah,
doing what it does best, and it's like by the time that Unreal 2007 comes out, it's not going to be, well, it'll be visually remarkable, but nowhere near it won't create the impression that
Gears
of War. Well, the thing is, it won't get the pass that Gears of War I feel is getting.
Right.
I mean, it's like Gears of War is still a good game, but I don't think it would be getting solid 10.
Well, listen,
the
Gears of War hype machine has been going for like over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there isn't even that kind of hype for Unreal Tournament at all.
It's been really like.
I mean, it's another. You know, year in a franchise now for that, whereas Gears of War was.
Yeah, that's
IP.
Almost the problem. I almost wonder, like, should they have kept with, like, the numbering system for that? Should they just change the name to, like, Unreal Warfare or something like that?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I don't know. They could have come up with
lots of meetings about that.
I'm sure they did. Yeah.
But it's, you know what? It still looked awesome when I saw it. When did I see it last? E3? No.
Last time I saw it was E3.
I guess E3, but it looks
great.
Yeah,
me too. Ryan, have you been playing any PC games? Or have you also been consoling out this weekend?
I ain't playing no damn consoles.
There you go. That's
all right. That's our boy.
Woo!
Ding, 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 ding.
Good answer.
Promotion for Ryan.
Oh, awesome. I've actually been playing Jaws Unleashed on the PC.
See, now you gotta mention a good one.
I know. Yeah.
You're not defending our cause.
Oh, thank
here.
God.
It's like
or Jaws Unleashed.
No, Jaws Unleashed is about as far from good as you can get.
Yeah, well, you gave it a 1, I believe.
I did give it a 1.
So that's about pretty much as far from good as you can get. You're right.
Did you get the pass key?
Did you get the pass key for the shark?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's the deal, right? The shark goes looking for key cards.
Well, it's basically, it's like
you must have the red key.
It sort of is like this wannabe Grand Theft Auto sort of open environment sort of thing, except you're a shark.
Right.
And like straight out of the tutorial, you're in like this holding, like this lab, like this aquarium thing, and it's all like, find a key card to open the door.
The shark?
Yeah.
The shark has to find the key card.
And so,
that's awesome.
So you're like swimming around and like jumping up and eating these like doctor dudes.
Don't do
and,
it.
So it's like Echo the Shark.
And they're running. It's funny because like they're running around and they're all like, is he dead? Is he dead? I don't want to die. Where is he? I don't want to die. Like the same three voice clips over and over and over. It's like one of those games.
And there's the same three character models over and over.
Right. And their mouths don't move during the cutscenes.
You know, isn't this a port too, by the way?
It is.
And wasn't it like they came up with a license at the last second?
Right. The license got
glommed
onto.
Well, it was going to be something
else. It got glommed onto this other game.
It was going to be called
starring a shark.
What was it?
Soul Predator?
Soul Predator.
S-O-L-E.
Was it S-O-L-E?
It was an existing shark game in which the shark is looking for key cards.
Right.
That they
well,
then
there's like
got
this
the
whole,
Jaws license.
There's
for.
This whole like environmental agenda where you have to stop these like driller guys from.
It was made by Appaloosa, who did
Echo
the Dolphin.
Games.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but Echo the Dolphin was a good game.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, how sad.
And therein lies the rub.
And
the environmental message there is lost.
This thing's been in development since 2003.
And it looks it.
And they decided, I guess at the last minute, hey, you know, Jaws 30th anniversary is coming up. Let's just make this a Jaws license. That'll be cool. And they completely missed.
Yeah, they missed the 30th anniversary.
Do they got the music? As long as they have the music.
They do have the music.
You know,
I do remember like seeing the game at an E3 one year, and like the big high point, like they were like the PR people were showing me was, look, you can swim by the beach and pluck people off the beach. Like
okay,
it was
even
like
that
it was like a cartoon character like
you jump up,
yeah, go
and
on.
you start mauling people on the beach, and you'll like. You'll hit the beach. You'll just like run aground. You'll have to like flop back into the water.
But that makes sense.
But it's like, that's
realism.
That happens a lot. Yeah.
No, but
makes you real feel badass as a shark.
I mean, well, killer whales do it. Sharks don't. Yeah. But actually, killer whales do beach like that. I suddenly
reminded myself of the exploding whale video on the internet after seeing that.
It's just like the whole thing, you know, you've got all these like objectives and stuff. Like, how is my only objective not like kill as many people as possible?
Well, right.
That's you're a shark.
Right.
And so technically this didn't come out on console, right? Although, I mean, it was reviewed.
No, it did.
It was
never
released.
It did.
Oh, is that right?
It did come out on
oh,
Xbox.
Was
I thought it came out on
PS2. And PS2,
no?
Yeah.
I heard
a hyper-intelligent shark with an environmentally conscious super-intelligence shark.
Right.
It was like a, what's
it's kinda
that
like
one?
Deep Blue Sea, that horrible, horrible movie with Samuel L. Jackson.
Where the
cool
shark
Jay.
Turns on the oven to cook the guy. That was awesome.
Okay, so the only PC game we've talked about now is Jaws Unleashed.
And
which itself is a port.
And RoboBlitz.
Oh, and RoboBlitz.
So, give them props. Any reasons to get a PC to play games this week?
Windows Vista.
Sean Malloy, you've been playing more of the Burning Crusade beta, right?
I have.
Please
still
say something
good
about that.
You still have the Quest Giver cap, so you must be liking it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's still good. It's
still
good? Yeah, I'm discovering a lot of new stuff in the beta. I'm kind of making a mental list for, like, what to do in the actual game.
I think they announced a date, didn't they? The real date.
It's January 16th, I think.
Are people going on like 40-man raids yet?
None of that's open yet. Just a couple of the 5-man instances.
So are you going to have like a total like route, a hot route for when, as soon as the game goes live?
Yeah. Well, there's like, in one town, there's like these two factions. You can pick which one to side with. And if you side with one, everything you do for them like puts you way in the red with the other one. So I want to like figure out which one's the better one for me. Mm-hmm. That kind
of
crap.
That's cool. You should do that and then post a little,
a super guide or something.
There you go.
Are you going to start a new character or are you going to keep playing your
I'm going to keep playing it. I don't want to grind again. What I've played of the new races is pretty much, they look better and they're cool, but like it's pretty much the same grind as before.
Yeah, it's kind of the same grind.
So I was playing my Night Elf, my Blood Elf Rogue, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want to do this again.
I mean, if you were a new player to WoW, it would probably be, they would be as viable an option as the other races.
Right, right. More so. I think the racial talents like make
The racial talents are kind of
significantly
cool.
More interesting in a gameplay way, too.
Racial talents. Non-gamers listening to this are like,
huh? Racial talents.
Well, you can imagine all the stereotypes. Yeah. He must be talking about this and this and this.
Well, that's kind of sad. And you know what I played this weekend that was not on consoles was EverQuest 1.
Yeah, that's a weekend well spent.
Wow.
Because the,
hey, come on now.
It's pulling a
little
love
glory. For EverQuest.
One day, you know, in the old days, EverQuest used to get the respect.
It used
EverQuest
to.
Was the
keyword
the game.
Is used to.
Yeah.
I used to be way
back in
that.
A time of mages and wizards.
Yeah. No, I booted it up because there's another new expansion for that game. It's the 12th expansion. They're still coming out.
How many people are still playing EQ1?
I don't know. I tried to get
it's
those numbers out.
A lot of bored housewives out there.
Yeah.
You talking to me? yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, I got on there, and there's people running around in this world. EverQuest
it's
one.
Not like tumbleweeds. It's actually a lot
it's
of like, people.
No, there
man
were people
at a time,
in there.
I mean, did you ask any of them if they're aware that like there are other
yeah
there are other MMOs that have come?
Hello, it's 2006,
or even if there's an EverQuest 2.
Yeah, it's really bizarre because the graphics look terrible. I mean, this is
what do you expect?
An old game.
Actually, after a certain point, like maybe even 2 months, like you stop even noticing that kind of thing in that kind of game.
Well, I have to admit, I mean, I did play it for many, many hours, and after a while, I kind of. Those like neurons started firing again. Mm-hmm. The old EverQuest stuff started coming back, and I started getting into it a bit. And I did stop thinking about the way it looked. I did.
Cool. Right. Well, when you're playing a game like that, and you've played it for however many years EverQuest came out before, or something else even viable came around the corner. That's a ton of investment of your life for some of these people. That's just impossible to break away from. I think.
Yeah.
So it would have been cooler if they were finally. But it would have been cooler if they would have been able to take your EQ1 characters and port them into the other games. That probably would have made a lot of lives easier for transitions.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that happen in like a future kind of game.
Yeah. I know that's, that's like the dilemma both Origin and EA faced with Ultima Online, and I'm sure the EverQuest guys had to ponder that a lot too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would one game turn into the other? But now I think EverQuest 1 still has more subscribers than EverQuest 2. So I don't know what that says. Doesn't say anything good, though. But the thing is, when I was playing EverQuest this weekend, I was thinking, well, maybe the low system requirements, because this is such an old game, keep some people around. But WoW has low system requirements.
Right.
So what's the incentive to play EverQuest 1? Actually, if anybody is listening that is an EverQuest 1 player, and if you work for Sony and are listening, you don't count. If you're a reader and you're listening and you play EverQuest 1, you should post on the boards because we would like to know why you are still playing this game.
In a non-jerky way. We are not.
No, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I really want to know. I mean, it was interesting to me that there were so many people playing. I was like, wow, this is like the city that time forgot. There's all these people running around here.
So I said, you need to slap them upside the head and ask them if
it's
they...
like Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost, yeah.
It's like Chaka around the corner. Like...
Or what was that? What was that M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Oh, the village? Village.
Yeah, you were in the village.
The village. I'm in the village.
What else do we have to talk about?
We got more console stuff.
We got more console stuff.
Playing the Wii.
Oh yeah, Sean, you were playing the Wii, weren't you?
Darren was too.
Yeah.
Can argue about that.
What do you guys think?
It's fun. I mean, the barometer for any fun system, whatever the case, is if my fiance will play it. If she likes it.
Yeah, but is she a gamer?
No, she's not.
Okay,
that's what I mean. Like, it's if you're looking at something to break into the mainstream market,
right?
Well, how will we like?
But
it
that's
as
what
gamers?
Yeah. That, see, the fact that she likes it makes me. No offense to your fiance, but that makes me wonder. Oh, so maybe it's more for her type rather than.
Dude, come on.
That's some kind of new low. Did that get picked up on the mic?
Yeah. I heard it.
Okay. I never want to use those headphones again.
I'm going to make sure to like...
Sean Elliott just farted on the podcast.
We're gonna like,
and he put the headphones
actually moved
up
the headset.
To his ass.
I can't wait for the Retronauts to grab onto that.
So good for
yeah, we got to watch to see who puts that headset on.
So the whole time I was trying to time it for when Ryan was talking about Jaws, so I was like, let me give it a no-word review.
Oh, wow.
I was going to drop a deuce on
We've
it.
We've hit some kind of new low.
Wow, it's like Chinese food on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done that in Johnny Wilson's
it's like,
day.
It's like a sweet and sour headset now.
Now you're just wallowing in it.
Johnny Wilson wouldn't have farted on the podcast.
Wow.
Hey, we had class back
we
then.
We are a class act right now, I tell you.
Next low.
Wow. Okay.
What did I say?
Wow, yeah. Suddenly it's like
that was
the
a
man
radio
show
moment.
Here.
That was like you've got like whatever, like the nipple gate, and then now you've got uh-huh. this.
I saw the expression on your face before I saw what you were doing. It's like something's wrong with Sean over there.
Like, you guys are often like Lala, like Ryan is just like
he's in shock right now. It's like you just watched the Borat it's movie all. Again.
All right, let's try to move on beyond that horrible moment.
Does anyone remember what just we were talking about?
Carry on.
Move along.
Hey, that sounded like the Project Runway guy.
What? Okay, designers.
You watch it too. I never would have taken Sean Elliott for a Project Runway guy. Okay, we've secret. Just outed Sean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think anyone who basically has a significant other, you're pretty much
carry on
watching that.
Okay, designers. I know,
okay, it's make it work time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We all watch it.
Yeah,
great show.
Pretty much.
All right, what were we talking about?
Should we go into
talking
news
about
or?
The Project Runway game?
You see what the Chinese food did to us on this podcast?
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about... We're talking
the
about the Wii.
We're talking about the Wii.
Confucius
my
say,
question
talk
was,
about Wii.
Do you think that Amy likes it enough so that she would buy it on her own?
No, she would definitely play, though. I think that's the thing. Like, it's a fun system.
Okay, but what about gamers who you've been working all day, you've messed around with your significant other, they've gone to bed. Now you've got a couple hours of game time in. Are you going to want to play the Wii?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Are you?
You know what?
Seriously?
Yeah, huh?
I'm not being skeptical. I want to know.
There's a Zelda game on the Wii.
Yeah, but you know,
so, I understand,
but you're coming from the fanboy perspective.
You're a closet retronaut, though, dude. You're actually one of the retronauts.
He's not even closet. He's actually
yeah, he's one of the retronauts.
He's
yeah.
like Lord of the
Freak.
Retronauts. He's like Captain.
Lord of the Retronauts. That's when it's time to kill yourself. look, he's not even smiling. He's got his feelings.
Come on, Ryan.
The thing about Nintendo, I mean, everybody's always... You know, they have a new system coming out, and everybody's like, oh, this looks really stupid. Like, people did that with the DS.
No, I know. Listen, I'm probably going to have one, but I'm seriously worried. Seriously. Because, I mean, I'm a Nintendo. I have every Nintendo system going back to the SNES.
Do you have the Virtual Boy?
No. But the thing that makes me worry is when I'm playing after, like, an hour or two or the first couple days of having the Wii where I'm like, going, look at this, honey. Look, I'm swinging a sword.
Right.
That, like, when it's, like, 1 in the morning and I just want to play some games, I'm going to feel like a freaking moron, for one, doing it. And, two, yeah. I'm going to be sort of resentful that I'm having to do all this, like, physical motion when
to
I just want
to
sit there.
You don't need... I mean, this will
He's
launch
the,
into
like,
my screen.
Sean's the game breaker right here.
You don't need any significant range of movement when you're playing. You could
okay.
sit there with it in your lap and it would look like this.
Okay, that looks a little odd.
It looks
you're doing
odd.
Right now.
It more looks like okay. pantomiming, like the controls. It looks like this.
Yeah. Okay.
But but so you don't need to play it that way, and it's not, you know, that physically exhausting.
Okay.
But here's part of the problem I ran into. I played it in the context of a party. We got together, and it was like, you know, guys and their girlfriends, and the majority of people there were either self, you know, described casual gamers or non-gamers. So it was an interesting, like, mm-hmm. sort of focus group to see how people reacted. And I think at first, you know, everyone was really digging the idea, and everyone's getting up and playing Wii Sports, and mm-hmm. you know, they're yeah. bowling, they're taking three steps. I mean, they're basically
right.
on a virtual lane that they okay. don't, that they aren't aware of. I mean,
that's cool. That's
yeah, that's
theory, that's cool.
They're swinging golf and stuff and everything.
Right.
But then when I played, and this is like, you know, just maybe the way I look at games, I was just like skeptical. I was like, there's no way that this processor can compute the incredible degree of subtlety in a golf swing or something, for example, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that a programmer can spend his whole career on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started messing with it, and sure enough, I was able to minimize it by continually to reduce the number of steps and the range of motion and see how I could still get the exact same response and see
oh.
that while they were up there doing full
yeah.
golf swings, you know,
right.
I could just go like this and wag my wrist and it was actually truer, you know, I would avoid
see.
The slice because it's basically just, there's a power meter, a swing meter
uh-huh.
in the same way that you'd have in any other game if you're using
sure.
an analog stick or if you're
or
using
even
a button.
A mouse.
And you're
yeah.
basically filling the bar with the quick
yeah.
registered movement.
I see.
And at which point it hits the ball. But so for me, it's still...
Yeah, but you were branded as a
tool
at the party.
It's still fun. That doesn't mean that it's bad or anything.
Right,
by
right,
any
right.
means.
But because Zelda, in Zelda, you'll have to like swing a sword. But even if you're doing it in a smaller range, that might
right.
still be fun, right?
Maybe. Yeah, and you're not... And the thing in Zelda, it's not trying to replicate it for in a one-to-one way. In the way that people are assuming when you grab it and you're like, okay, you're playing tennis. So that's an activity that they're familiar with, right? Much more
okay.
than most people swing swords.
Right.
But so basically, you're jerking your hand around. Just
yeah.
jerking it. And anyway, like... So he does something
classic.
On the screen. And, it, you uh-huh. know, I mean, and that's fine. But I'm thinking that mm-hmm. for games when it does sort of... Like, either just by default, it encourages you to believe that there is a one-to-one, like, an exact translation of your physical actions into virtual movement in the game.
I think Red Steel is trying to do that.
Kind of bummed out by it.
Right.
And that's a game I heard Red Steel is just like a total like wash, especially the sword fighting stuff. From the same guy who, I'm not going to name names, but who had the Wii I was playing. But anyway, so what I'm getting at here is that for me, I was just kind of bummed because I was buying into all the ads you see in the promo movies where you see the people doing backflips on their couches and stuff, and you're like, okay, well, when I do want to get spastic, this is the perfect thing to do it. But it's like now that I know that all that like spasticity is like largely extraneous, that it's not really being read by
the game.
That's
really interesting.
I feel stupid doing it. So maybe it's just me and I'm prone to look
behind
the curtain.
No, that's interesting. I mean, it's sort of like they're maybe counting on us all sort of bringing our real life
assumptions
energy into it.
World,
intuitive, physical, you know.
Sounds like you get into it what you want.
Right, because like I watched the EGM guys all playing that bowling game on Friday.
Yeah, they're all just
and they
bowling.
All look like they were on like a virtual
but
bowling
joke,
and it looked fun.
You could sit here and I think, if you wanted like this.
Yeah, you just go
I,
like,
could, I mean,
like
this
that.
Just to be just a facetious ass. I mean, I could be like.
Just and.
Right.
And
well, bowl, that actually sounds like kind of best to both worlds in a way, because like if you got four people together, you can all kind of just, you know, do that and have fun, even though you know in you know, intellectually, that there's
right. Don't
what
you
you're doing is not
be,
helping the game
if
at
you
all.
Invited,
something...
Right, if you invited a few of your friends over and you put that game in, don't you think even if all four of you knew, you would just sort of do that anyway?
Right.
You would start doing the virtual
bowling
alley.
That's what it's relying
thing.
On. In the same way that, like, with the regular controller, you see, like, people, like, trying to, like, in
Splinter
Cell, looking around the TV.
I totally
or,
do that.
Or a racing game or a flight game.
I do it in racing games. Even in shooters, I'll lean in my chair or lean back.
Like, especially, like, in Battlefield, when people are flying the helicopters, you know, I imagine just, like, you're all, like, you know, you're trying to do a steep turn or something, jerking and banking.
Yeah, I played a lot of Test Drive Unlimited in on my 360 this weekend because I didn't have Gears of War. And I was doing a lot of turning my head with the steering
wheel. That kid, we'd invite that kid over to play games, so we'd all just watch him. We'd all just like, hey, go ahead and play this. Like on the Sega Genesis, and we'd all go sit on the couch and just stare and like,
what the hell is he doing? Yeah. Or like when he has the gamepad, he like moves the gamepad like he's steering the wheel or whatever.
He basically was before his time. The Wii, he's got him covered.
He's a retronaut of the highest order.
So are we all going to... get a Wii?
I'm getting a Wii.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, after he played it, I was kind of, at first I was bumming that I didn't have it pre-ordered. Now I'm like, oh, when it's convenient, you know.
I might be a little bit
if it's
wait
months
and see.
From now, if it's 3 or 4 months from now, I'll be fine. No.
I think I might feel the same way.
I'd say like, let the hysteria die down. People are going to go ape shit trying to get a hold of it for the holidays, but it's.
But you're going to camp out, aren't you, Sean?
We'll see. We're planning on it.
Yeah.
Ryan is.
You camping out, Ryan?
I think actually we're going to visit my parents this weekend. And
you already
they live in
out,
a,
though, didn't you?
They live in a very small town, so I'm hoping I can get it.
Oh, so
without...
is it being released on a weekend?
It's Sunday.
Yeah, like Sunday morning, basically.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
Which is actually pretty perfect for camping out.
Yeah, because I want to give you guys time off to get a frickin' Nintendo machine. This is Games for Windows Magazine. Yeah.
Bitches.
Bitches.
We'll be covered again. What do we got coming out in the weeks ahead?
Wow.
that was a
holy mackerel. We needed one of your farts there, Sean.
I got the other one if you want.
No, I don't want another one.
Don't we have,
hey, Ryan, save that for outside.
The longest named expansion ever. Lord of the
Rings. Oh, God. Lord of the Rings. Battle from Middle-earth 2, The Rise of
Rise of the Witch King.
Oh, wait. Can we get the acronym for that? That's even better than our magazine acronym.
It's LOTRBFME2ROTWK.
And you will read it first in GFWTOM.
OMG.
No mouse.
We're going to take a break?
We are.
We're going to take a break, and
think
we'll be back.
Think about what we're excited. What reasons we have to be thankful this November for PC gaming.
Cue up the Jeopardy music, someone.
We'll be back.
Tune in to Radio PM from the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. And trust me, people, we are so biased. Listen in every Thursday at radiopm.oneup.com or on iTunes.
And see, we're back.
Didn't even miss us.
It was like no time went by. Have we come up with anything more to talk about?
No.
You know what we can talk about?
Editor, that's why I'm looking to you. I got plenty of
news.
Off,
yeah,
they're all next
we do
year.
Have news and we have reader questions.
Yes. Next March is like when PC gaming gets its November.
March?
My book, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've had a nice spate of releases. Unfortunately, none of them really delivered, did they? We had Dark Messiah. Mm-hmm. We had Battlefield 2142.
Yeah. I'm still going strong on Company Heroes, but the problem with that is like, you know, when we talk about World of Warcraft and stuff, it's to the point where it's like now everyone knows that, we understand it's
right.
a great game, and I'll play it regularly every week.
Right.
But I need
actually, is Rainbow Six Vegas coming to the PC as well soon?
Yes, it is.
I'm actually looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that, too. And I have not been into Rainbow Six for a while, but that one looks good to me.
Yeah, that's looking pretty tight.
I can take this one brief moment to plug the first issue of Games for Windows, the official magazine, which will be on newsstands today when I'm saying this. Tuesday, November 14th, is the official newsstand date for Games for Windows, the official magazine.
Our own emergence day.
While supplies last.
And in that issue of the magazine, we actually talk about PC games and not console games.
We promise.
Mm-hmm. I need to like take the time now and play Flight Sim. I've been meaning to do that.
Flight Sim 10?
Why do you need to do that?
You a Flight Stick
just guy? I want to do it now. I'm interested
really?
In you know planes and everything, and I'm like, I need to sit down, and this sounds like it's accessible. It's got all the trainer modes and
we
stuff.
We got to get your computer to work, but yeah. You know, actually, that's actually a really good point, because I mean, like he's like the flight jockey in Battlefield 2 and stuff, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but so, there's I mean, no like, guns in this game.
I know
dude.
It's completely different, and if anyone's listening, they're like, "Oh God, he thinks he can fly a plane in Battlefield. Good luck going from New York to Auckland in real time." But I don't care about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you guys sitting inside their home cockpits now, making. Yeah, you know, scoffing at you.
That was the joke when Crispin from EGM came over, and he's really big into planes and stuff, to the point where he'll get like amateur pilot magazines and stuff. Uh-huh. And I was like, "Hey, man, co-op, let's do LA to LAX to Auckland in real time."
You know, we'll
you could be a co-pilot. You sleep, I'll take the controls.
You can be a co-pilot in Flight Sim.
Yeah, so you can both fly the same plane.
Seriously, what would you do?
Switch. Yeah, so go take a nap, take a dump, come back. We're 1,000 miles closer to the destination.
You know, actually, wow. He also has the head tracking software.
That'd be a good divorce court thing.
Yeah,
you know,
or a
your wife
book
walks
thing.
In and you got you and your buddy are sitting there. You both got on your headsets.
It's crazy.
Honey, there's like 10 errands to do, and there's a whole bunch of garbage to clean
up. But your wife can look
at
that.
I'm co-pilot in here.
She could say, hey, don't commercial aviators make a lot of money? It's like, hey, that kind of makes sense. As opposed to you and your freaking gnome cruising around beating on like party-colored bears and stuff. Making numbers appear above their head when you poke at them.
Oh, sure. Reduce it that way. It's a lot more complicated than that, yeah. Master.
But I got these great new gloves now as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ready for some news?
I think we're going to go to Darren with the news.
Okay, so since on the console theme...
Oh, dear.
Okay. No, actually, this is really quick.
So, at least made it second.
So people are kind of curious about the Xbox 360's HD DVD drive. Apparently, it'll work on a PC.
Awesome.
So what you do? Yeah, so if you want to try, if you want to get a cheap HD DVD player on your computer, you buy it. It's for $200, and there's some. I mean, basically, it's going to require some drivers. And they found the people at UneasySilence.com. Found that if you download the drivers and you install WinDVD 8, which it happens to work with, you can watch HD DVD movies on your PC.
Uneasy Silence. It's named after the moment after I just crop dusted on this podcast.
Dude, it is so like earthy
when I asked
in here
about
right
what
now.
PC games we were playing.
Okay, so wait, it goes in like into a drive bay for my stupidity. What is
it? The way the 360's HD DVD drive is, it's basically like an external peripheral you plug into through a USB port.
Oh, wow.
Internally, okay. Inside the box, it's really just it's a Toshiba OEM'd HD DVD drive. So it has the drivers are available, and you just have to plug it in through USB. So, I mean, like, there might be some stuttering if you have a low-end PC, but it works.
What's availability like on HD DVD right now in terms of content for it?
You mean besides, like, you know, RV or something?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's kind of like the Turf War is now beginning. So it's like you're going to see, like Mission Impossible 3 and... I don't have the full list. Actually, I think it's either Extreme Tech or Digital Life. They actually have a proper list of some of the movies that are out. Mm-hmm. I'd have to check that. But although I actually had a conversation recently with somebody, and you know, who's going to win the war between Blu-ray and HD DVD? It all depends on where porn's going
to
go.
I was going to ask Ryan needs to know when his anime porn is going to be
exactly
HD TV.
Because you really
feel so awkward.
Yeah, you know, because you really need to see that crisp beauty there. That's ick.
Isn't that always what drives the video format?
Technology?
No, technology, sure. Seriously, since VHS, VHS, DVD, the internet, the first successful commercial ventures are
porn.
Yeah,
they used to be porn movie theaters, right? Yeah. Before everyone figured out they could do it at home.
True.
That's right. I sure miss those days.
For real.
Paul Rubens for misses real. Those days.
All right, so next bit of news.
Maybe
actually,
you do.
Ryan, you were pretty excited about this bit of news. So EVE Online developer CCP Games is merging with White Wolf.
That's so, very exciting.
And they're making an MMO game, White Wolf's World of Darkness.
Oh.
World of Darkness.
Huh. That's yeah. So wait, they merged?
They actually merged.
Wow.
So
what do they have a new name?
I think they're operating under
Their own names for now, because they both have like recognized franchises. But
I think like so for White Wolf became the CCP subsidiary, so like CCP is the owner.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how it works. So anyway, for those who don't know, White Wolf are the guys who do the Vampire the Masquerade game.
Right.
And they also do
Werewolf
and all this other stuff. So
good stuff.
Good stuff. Inspiration for LARPers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Ryan, take it away. You know more about the do you know anything about
well,
this world?
I pretty much know exactly what you do about the news. I mean they're making a World of Darkness MMO. These are the guys who made EVE Online. And I guess they're making an EVE Online role-playing game, like a tabletop role-playing game, which makes
which
a little
plays
less
itself.
Right.
Right, that's, you just set up the
right. That's the other
board.
Half. That's the other half of the equation.
And then you go have dinner.
And it plays without you. You flip some cards at the table and like walk away.
Ryan, what kind of vampire were you in when you played vampire with your friends?
Were you Bruja?
I have never actually played a White Wolf game.
Damn it, I thought I was going to catch him.
No?
Ah, man.
Anybody here?
You still fit the profile.
I've never played. No.
I played a session of a werewolf once at Dreamcatcher Interactive. Dreamcatcher? Wait. Who are the guys who made Sanitarium?
Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher.
Yeah.
Didn't you have an awesome story
about this?
They had the license to the werewolf game.
To the Universal Werewolf? Universal Studios Werewolf?
Yeah.
No, not that werewolf. Not the Lon Chaney werewolf.
Evan Costello versus the werewolf.
And they were going to make a werewolf game, so I went to Dreamcatcher somewhere back east, and we played a game of werewolf, and it was fun.
What were you?
Didn't you have an awesome? I totally forget this, but I could swear you had some kind of crazy story about one of the guys working on the game, or am I? Like,
yeah, we played in the nude. That's the story.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, never mind. In a very Costanza moment, it'll come to me like 3 hours.
Are you talking about the infamous White Wolf incident?
Well,
I don't think we could talk about.
Okay,
on the
fine.
Air.
If you want to know, IM us or aim private messages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So were you a lycanthrope?
Yes, I was. It was fun too.
That was it. That was
the key to all these games. Of course, is you have to have a good dungeon master, as we all know.
That
was a really
know.
Good storyteller.
Clearly.
As in life.
So, what did you do during your game?
I was a werewolf. I scratched myself.
Did you eat some fleas? People?
Ate people. Yeah, checked myself for fleas.
Did you get a lot of experience points?
I did. I leveled up, dude.
Got a rabies shot.
All right, Jeff, there's a Victorian Grand Dam on the avenue, and you can smell their blood in the air. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it was that kind of thing.
I'm going to rip her head off.
Okay.
Speech needs to be more than that.
So, all right, what else in the news?
There's slow news bits, but I'll just rattle through these really quick. So, in our special, very special tech nerd corner, so big news last week was NVIDIA announced the first DirectX 10 compatible cards.
Yay.
So, actually, here's one cool part, despite the fact they're $600 a piece. The GeForce 8800 cards. So one of these cards is as powerful as two 7900 GTXs in SLI.
Dude, a $600 video card?
Exactly. But, you know, you think about it. A year ago, people...
It's our PlayStation 3.
Yeah, no kidding.
A year ago, people were being asked to buy two graphics cards for this level of performance. So technically, it's an improvement, but...
That's also a lot of money.
It's asking a lot of money. There is a GTS version of this 8800 board, and it's going to cost $450, I think, approximately. It'll still be pretty good. It'll still be a good performer, and it'll be DirectX 10 ready. I'd say give it a few months. There's obviously going to be more stuff coming down the road, more DirectX cards in the way, but it's still kind of interesting to see performance values, how much it costs, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. You could buy a whole PS3.
Yeah, if you could find one.
Well, if you could find one. Yeah, and if there was anything good to play on it.
Did I send you guys the link about how... Did I send you guys a link? Apparently on eBay, some dumbass bought a PS3 for $9,100.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, well, that's Darwinism right there.
Okay, other bits of news. ATI users download the latest Catalyst drivers because there were some problems with WoW graphics, so they're fixed now. What else? Oh, here's one from NewScientistTech.com. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but apparently this guy has invented a throwable controller.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, well, we could all use that. You mean when, yeah. You mean for when you get mad?
That would be even better. Okay, so I'm just going to read this as quoted from New Tech. Okay, so New Scientist Tech. A new breed of throwable game controllers could turn computer gaming into a healthy pastime, tossable peripherals.
Yeah, break.
Each controller resembles a throwable object like a ball, football, frisbee. They also connect via Wi-Fi, and each contains an accelerometer capable of detecting speed and impact, altitude, a timer, and a GPS receiver, so you could find it afterwards.
What? GPS
for what?
Receiver.
I don't know.
Why would you? I mean,
obviously, you'd have to be outside.